Do you remember some of the rules you grew up with? Anybody?
No name calling.
I'm teaching a confirmation class right now for adults, and it happened to be the Ten Commandments this past Sunday. So when I read the scripture for this coming week, I was like, all right, I'm prepared. It was an interesting conversation. I'm used to doing it with junior hires. These are with adults. So we dove in a little deeper, right? And it's hard, these commandments. You know, you get to ones like, don't steal. And then you can ask the ethical questions of, well, if you're stealing so that you can live, just a piece of bread, is that okay? Is that not okay? I mean, these are things I think we all struggle with. I always point out that the first three commandments are about our relationship with God. Only one God. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The rest of them are just about us. So it takes seven, right, to get us. Like, all right, let's follow within the law. I think when we first read the scripture today, maybe some of you in the back of your minds were like, how is she going to say anything good about this one? It calls us to face the law. It calls us to the morals that we live by and to reflect on our actions and the consequences. There's definitely a pattern here. So let's look at the pattern. You have heard it said, and I say to you. All right? So I want you to look at the scripture. So over here it says, you've heard it said of ancient times, you shall not murder. But I say to you, don't get angry. Don't insult. Don't call somebody a fool. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I say to you, don't even look with lustful eyes at a woman. Again, you have heard it said, don't swear falsely. You must carry out your vows. But I say to you, don't even swear in your head. You know, as I was reading through this, I'm like, thanks, Jesus. You're stepping up the game. I mean, you're absolutely making this impossible. The thoughts in your head now become sinful. I mean, we can make a moral choice not to act out, but sometimes we can't even help that natural inkling, that natural thought. I mean, to never get angry. I'd love to know how many of us here are sinless with these new stipulations that we're given. Especially with what's going on right now, I can tell you I've had a few sinful thoughts. Thanks, Jesus, for making it impossible for us. You know, the verses leading up to this talk about making it into the kingdom. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments will be least in the kingdom. Whoever teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never make it into the kingdom of heaven. Exceeds. How many times does Jesus woe the Pharisees and the scribes, these keepers of the law? I mean, this, when Jesus is saying this, it's perking the ears of the disciples. Because the disciples are being taught over and over again, woe is the Pharisees, and now you have to exceed their righteousness of the law. And how many times did Jesus just kind of shake the Pharisees and say, stop following the law. Stop following every letter you have ever been given. Because there is grace. It's like he's trying to shake them out of the law and show them what grace is. I would argue that Jesus is pointing out to us that it is impossible for us to get into heaven except through Christ. Jesus is changing the game. Jesus is not making it about you. He's pointing out you will sin. You will fall short. You just can't do it on your own because we're no longer playing a moral game. I'm going to change the game, and I'm going to give you me on a cross. I'm going to give you a new resurrection. Because whether you're the least in the kingdom or the greatest in the kingdom, it is through me that you are given the kingdom of heaven. But see, Jesus has given us an even greater gift by upping the expectations of the law. Because all of these are about relationships with one another. Christ doesn't want to just give us his love. Christ wants to show us that there is love here already among us, calling us into that. You know, a healthy love, one that doesn't anger, one that doesn't objectify, and one that doesn't falsely promise. Jesus calls us out of the don'ts into the do's. Read it. He says, be reconciled with your brother and sister before coming to this altar. Come to terms with your accuser. He's teaching us about the importance of forgiveness. You know, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Let your words be yes, yes, or no, no. People, I want you to do something. He's perking their ears. He's pointing this out, that we are called into action. Work for reconciliation. Lift one another up in forgiveness. Treat people like they matter. And lift up their gifts for the service of the Lord. When he talks about the divorce, see, divorce wasn't as acceptable as it is today. And he's pointing out to us, care for the most vulnerable in the society. And speak well of your enemy. Jesus wants us to not only be in relationship with him, but to be in good relationship with one another. And it's not something else you have to do to follow in the law. It's literally a gift. He is giving us one another. So, what I want you to do is to think on your own for a minute about some relationship in your life that's really good. The first name that comes to mind, a relationship in your life that's healthy and life-giving. What makes that relationship work? Why is it so important to you? I mean, think about the ways you lift one another up, that you are working under this law that Jesus is giving us. And I do ask that you thank God for that, because it really is a gift to have that relationship. I also want to ask you to think of a relationship that's broken. One that has suffered or been damaged. Now, I don't want you to take time here to place blame or go through all of those thoughts in your head to figure out what went wrong. I want you to think of that person, and I want you to lift that relationship up to God, asking for help and healing. Jesus knows how broken we are. That's why Jesus became broken himself. Bring all that you are up to this altar and thank Jesus for changing the game. Because it's not our good morals, people. Our good morals cannot cast out the demons that surround us. The only thing that can cast out the demons is love. Christ's love and Christ calling us into love. So every day we go to the waters of our baptism, drowning in this sin and being given new life and new breath and rising into a resurrection of the Spirit. Now that is from Christ. Amen.